So we're here at the MARC, which is part of UT Health San Antonio's outpatient, one of their outpatient clinic facilities.
Dr. Monica Verduzco Gutierrez is a professor and a chair of rehabilitation medicine at UT Health San Antonio.
Here on the seventh floor is where sometimes we see some of the patients who come for long COVID needs. So we're going into our exam room number 3 to go see one of our patients.
She directs 2 long COVID clinics.
And we're doing an examination with our ultrasound right now. Now you can see, like, a lot of the just edema.
I just don't know why I hurt so bad.
Over the last 4 years, she's become one of the nation's leading experts on long COVID, a cluster of often debilitating symptoms that have impacted at least 3 out of 10 American adults after they've recovered from a COVID infection.
So Ms. Hernandez has, you know, part of long COVID, one of the things that she has is called POTS, or autonomic dysfunction, or dysautonomia. And so she just did like a too quick of a movement yesterday, and it messes with your blood pressure and your heart rate. And she like fell really bad on her arm and has a very big bruise and went to the emergency room. And these are some of the things that, you know, the aftermath that we try to deal with here.
She's also one of the nation's most outspoken advocates for those who suffer from long COVID.
Seems like there.
Yeah.
Oh. Is a tear.
Yeah.
Oh. So definitely have a tear in your triceps. But it doesn't, it looks like it's still connected.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. And now she's contributed to what is a standardized definition of long COVID from the U.S. National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine, all while helping her patients access an often elaborate web of care they may need for an illness that can impact any and sometimes many organs or systems.
No more falling.
No more falling, I know. I've been really good about
it. I know, it's hard to tell someone who has, like, autonomic dysfunction. It's hard, but yeah.
So what is that definition, and what will it mean, if anything, for long COVID patients going forward? From Texas Public Radio, this is Petri Dish. I'm Bonnie Petri.
Support for Petri Dish is made possible by UT Health San Antonio, committed to transforming the health of the community through a team that tackles problems from every angle, doing everything it takes to bring each patient the best possible outcomes, from teaching tomorrow's healthcare leaders to translating research into new treatments. UT Health San Antonio strives to make lives better. Learn more at everythingittakes.org.
Searing pain. My name is Alicia Hernandez, and I run ABH Investments, which involves 6 bingo halls that I own.
Alicia Hernandez is one of Dr. Monica Verduzco Gutierrez's long COVID patients.
Yeah, including even above the elbow.
You're doing great.
She got COVID in October of 2020 and says she hasn't been the same since.
I never had an autoimmune before I got COVID. I never had chronic fatigue syndrome. I never had autonomic dysfunction. I was able to work. I was able to pick up my kids from school. I was able to do everything.
She is being treated for an injury from a fall, which technically wasn't caused by long COVID, but it really kind of was. See, postural tachycardia syndrome, better known as POTS, is common in long COVID patients. POTS is a form of dysautonomia, a disorder of the autonomic nervous system. When a person who experiences POTS stands up, it's kind of like their blood doesn't stand up with them. It sort of stays down there in their legs and feet. Their blood vessels don't tighten up enough to push blood up to the brain. Their heart rate jumps and they may feel dizzy. They may fall, like Alicia did. They can also experience debilitating fatigue.
my life was full, and now I have to choose what I'm going to be doing on a daily basis. I have to be very intentional. If I know I'm going to do something that's going to require a couple hours out, I know the day before I need to rest, and I can't plan more than like two things a day. I now have somebody that helps me run the company, and with my brain fog, I have to have someone write down everything that is said in any conversation that I have so I can go back to it, because I can't remember a lot.
And it's frustrating because even though an estimated 17 million American adults have long COVID right now, a lot of people still don't know what it is, not even doctors. That's where the U.S. National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine comes in. Two departments in the Health and Human Services Administration asked the National Academies to consider all the evidence that's been gathered about long COVID since 2020 and create a universal definition of the disease so that everyone, doctors, patients, families of patients, employers, everyone could be on the same page. That request led to a 166-page report called A Long COVID Definition, A Chronic Systemic Disease State with Profound Consequences. Dr. Monica Verduzco Gutierrez was on the committee that crafted it, and she recently joined me on Zoom to talk about what the process was like, wading through years worth of information about long COVID to craft a definition that everyone on the committee could agree on.
So the process was a lot of time and meetings, a lot of looking at the data, you know, with both staff from the National Academies and with our group. But the first thing we did was actually come up with a survey to go out to the stakeholders and say, what do you want in a definition? And we wanted people who are clinicians, patients, payers, I mean, kind of across the board, caregivers who were dealing with long COVID to, you know, give their input on what they thought was going to be important with the definition. You know, they used a special firm that helped do these surveys and got those surveys out there so that we can then get all the feedback of, you know, what were terms that were preferred by patients, what were terms that preferred by others, what did people think of other definitions? You know, the World Health Organization has one, the CDC has one, NIH is saying something. You know, what were limitations in those? So we could use all that feedback, use all the, you know, what we knew from research that's coming out, and listen to the patient advocates that were in our group and come out with a definition.
Okay, so what is long COVID?
So long COVID is an infection-associated chronic condition that occurs after infection with SARS-CoV-2, and it's present for at least 3 months, and it can be continuous, relapsing, remitting, or progressive disease state that affects one or more organ systems. And some other important things that we came up with was that, you know, it can manifest in multiple ways, and patients can have single or multiple symptoms, and they can have, you know, single or multiple conditions that develop afterwards.
And this particular definition makes it clear, right, that long COVID isn't only a condition that impacts those who fall into the high-risk category, like older people or those with comorbidities. Anyone who gets COVID is at risk for developing long COVID, right?
Anyone can be impacted by this. I mean, the young, like, let's not forget about children, someone who was previously healthy before, people who have mild COVID or severe COVID. It's not just severe COVID. The vaccinated, the unvaccinated, like, you know, all of these things, anyone can be at risk. Even people with asymptomatic infections can get long COVID. And the other part was that, you know, to be treated, you don't per se have to have had a positive test, because we know it sometimes in the pandemic, people didn't have access to testing. If you think at the beginning of the pandemic where it was like, you could only get it maybe at a hospital, and if you were really sick, not at CVS, or if someone had a test that they just took at home and no doctor ever validated it and it's not in your medical record. So it's not like you have to have a test, but if there are other symptoms, like, okay, everyone in my house was sick with COVID, I didn't get a test, but I was sick and then now I have long COVID.
It sounds like the definition will leave no long COVID patient behind, but are you concerned at all that maybe you've cast sort of too wide a net?
Yes, there was a concern. And we kind of had those discussions, like, is this going to be too broad? But we want to be inclusive for, you know, the patient community, the patients that are suffering, that are having all these disparate symptoms. And so we said, we're going to keep it broad. And, you know, sometimes the research community is like, it's too broad. How are we supposed to study it? Well, we're not saying don't study it. It's like, maybe when you make research criteria, you could just focus it on a certain phenotype or a certain subpopulation, make your own kind of criteria within the definition of long COVID.
Right. So design your study to include, say, people who have POTS after getting COVID or who have brain fog. Be very narrow at the research level while keeping the definition broad enough so that people can get appropriate treatment. All right. So we still don't have like a test that will tell you, you know, you have long COVID or you don't have long COVID. Was it difficult for your group to define long COVID without that biomarker?
I mean, I think we saw it as a limitation, but then we said, okay, we're going to have to deal with it otherwise and say, okay, let's come up with the best thing that we can come up with at this time right now with the data that we have and with what we're seeing that patients are going through.
And I read somewhere that more than 1,300 people contributed to the definition. So what kind of impact do you expect this report and definition will have?
I think it's pretty significant that, you know, here's this very respectable organization that brings together experts and says, you know, let's really look into this. Let's look into the research that's been done. Let's listen to the stakeholders, patients, other clinicians, research scientists, and let's come up with a definition for long COVID. And I think the work that the committee did was amazing. And, you know, there's a good definition for now that's going to be looked at again in a few years.
And that's the thing about this pandemic, right? It's a novel pathogen and everything is always new. We're always adding to our knowledge base, which adjusts what we thought we knew before, right?
Right. And yes, this pandemic, we're still in it and we're learning things all the time. Research is coming out all the time. So I think it's good that tons of research has come out, more is coming, and we'll relook at it again.
When Petri Dish continues, what might this report mean specifically for patients who've been getting the runaround?
Look, it's been studied. This is the definition. Let's talk about this or send me to someone that will.
That's next.
Support for TPR comes from the University of Texas at San Antonio's Brain Health Consortium, a pioneering research hub advancing neuroscience, neuroengineering, precision medicine, and more. Learn more at utsa.edu/BHC.
Welcome back to Petri Dish. I'm Bonnie Petri.
So how many doctors do you have?
Oh, my God. I can't even count. Like 7 or 8.
Long COVID now consumes Alicia Hernandez's life, whether she wants it to or not.
I mean, they don't know enough. I mean, I'm telling them about it.
They don't have any treatments for her, or the treatments aren't covered by insurance.
And all that is out of pocket. And it has cost me thousands and thousands of dollars. Acupuncture, you know, all... everything, because nothing's helping us.
I asked Dr. Monica Verduzco Gutierrez to tell me more about the challenges Alicia has been facing since COVID changed everything.
She's someone otherwise who was young, healthy, working full time, running a business, and has gotten COVID, and now has gotten COVID several times, unfortunately, and has impacted her tremendously, because one of the ways it's impacted her is her immune system. So then again, she becomes so at risk for getting other infections and then COVID again, because it's someone, you know, it's affected her immunoglobulins, it's affected her white count. She has symptoms, you know, dysautonomia or autonomic dysfunction symptoms. She has brain fog. She has GI symptoms, a lot of chronic fatigue symptoms. And so really, one of those where, you know, part of the definition is it can affect one or any organ system, and hers is unfortunately some of the many organ systems.
Just like COVID is multi-systemic, sometimes long COVID is multi-systemic too.
Exactly, right. Patients can look different, but it can definitely, if you think that inflammation that it causes, microclots can go anywhere in the body. And so it's really multi-systemic.
You know, that must have made it difficult to nail down a definition.
Yeah, maybe I've said this to you before, but I would say, like, if you've seen one long COVID patient, you've seen one long COVID patient, because it can be so different to everyone. But there is, I would say probably some of the typical patients that might present to a clinic. There is fatigue, there is brain fog, there's usually some orthostatic symptoms. So that means when they're up, they might be having like palpitations, migraines, brain fog, pain in the back of their neck, lightheadedness, dizziness, those kind of symptoms. Shortness of breath, definitely difficulty doing activities they would do before. Some of their brain fog might be like memory issues, concentration, difficulty finding words. You hear that a lot for some patients with long COVID. That's, you know, hard for them to find words that they could easily say before. Some of them might be have a lot more allergies or get sick more frequently than they did before.
It's complicated, right? Do you think this definition will give doctors, you know, sort of like a starting point when they have patients like Alicia who come in with a variety of symptoms that might not initially seem connected?
Hopefully it'll give clinicians something to go to that will give them some knowledge base. But I think just in general, where a medical community wants, you know, protocols and lab tests and do this, treat with this, and we still don't exactly have all of that. And so it's complicated, but hopefully it'll help at least say, validate that, yes, there is a diagnosis. It's a clinical diagnosis. These are some of the criteria. Yes, this person meets the criteria. At least give them a diagnosis and start trying to treat the symptoms at least and getting to the underlying issues.
So if a patient hasn't been able to get anyone to take them seriously, which is all too common, do you think this report will help, you know, to have something concrete from a respected scientific organization that'll let them say, listen, doc, this right here is what the science says, and I think this might be what's going on with me.
Right. Yes. I feel like some patients have high health literacy. They find this is something that they can bring to their clinician and say, okay, I think I'm dealing with long COVID. Look, it's been studied. It's been, you know, this is the definition. Let's talk about this or send me to someone that will.
Right. This isn't a printout from a weird website that's trying to sell supplements or something that your doctor can just roll their eyes at. It's 166 pages of science.
Right. This is all based in science. I mean, there is so many references in that report because we looked at it very systematically. And so it's a science. It's a set science that long COVID is an entity, that there is pathobiology behind long COVID. Yes, we may not have the blood biomarker or blood test yet, but there is something going on in the body. We're learning more to come.
It's not just anxiety.
It's not just anxiety. Exactly. And so many patients get that still. And I feel bad because I felt this way. And some patients are like, well, someone told me it's anxiety. Do you think maybe? And you know, they're not like generally anxious. And they're like, is this what anxiety is? You know, they start even like, you know, questioning themselves when they don't have anxiety.
Right. But if your doctor says your symptoms are, you know, all in your head, most of us are going to wonder, at least for a second, if maybe our symptoms are all in our head. And we may then struggle to advocate for ourselves because we think there is a chance, no matter how tiny, that we're crazy, which makes it particularly difficult to talk to people from whom we need support, like our bosses. So do you think this definition will help those conversations go a little bit easier?
I mean, I hope so. If they'd go to their workplace and say, you know, I have long COVID. This is something that's been studied. It's been defined. I mean, there was another report that came out of the National Academies for, you know, the effects of long COVID for the Social Security Administration. So they're taking it as something where people can be disabled from and not be able to work and take it at that level of seriousness. And it's also considered a disability under the ADA as well.
What do you hope comes next?
That's what I hope comes next, is that it's just a stepping stone to say, okay, here we have this definition. Long COVID is a clinical diagnosis. It's real. Please, you know, give people this diagnosis. Please, you know, treat for any symptoms and conditions that can be treatable. Please believe them. And then from the funding mechanism, can we get more funding for research so that we can, you know, continue to find treatments, find what's going on, you know, figure out the subtypes, find that biomarker that we've been looking for.
And that's why this definition was made to be revised. Tell me more about that.
So the process is going to be, you know, we'll look at it again. It'll be 3 years at the most, or if something really, you know, hugely substantial comes out in the interim, then it will be looked at again. You know, a committee will be formed again and change it as it deemed necessary.
All right. Before I let you go, is there anything at all you'd like to add that I haven't asked you about?
One thing I do also like about the definition is that the term long COVID was decided to be used. And so that was something that was first, you know, a patient derived term. So we really respect that this term came from patients, that was either a term that patients like. And so we said, okay, let's keep it long COVID. It's important to have the patient's voice first.
And this patient community has been really fighting the good fight for years now, while many of their lives, like your patient Alicia's, have been turned upside down. It is important to center their experiences.
Yeah, we just have to continue to know these are people with lives and with, you know, families and whose lives are turned around completely, and they're not getting better, and they're dealing this with year after year, with sometimes even new things happening all the time. So they really want to be validated. They want this to be researched. They want treatments for it. They're not giving up. And I love the patient community because they're so passionate.
All right. Thank you so much. As always, Dr. Monica Verduzco Gutierrez, Chair of Rehabilitation Medicine at UT Health San Antonio and longtime long COVID warrior. This episode of Petri Dish contains reporting from TPR Vice President of News Dan Katz. It was produced by Jacob Rosati and Dan and edited by Yvette Benavides. I wrote the show and Jacob Rosati composed all the music and created the sound design. Petri Dish is a production of Texas Public Radio. I'm Bonnie Petri. Talk to you soon.